I'm bringing Hansel back.
Get your sexy on.
It's time to talk to Tim Hasselbeck, who has been a busy man. Let's hope Tim has kept hydrated, things like that. He's done a lot of talking. This fantasy football marathon, which has been really cool to watch. You've given us some things to discuss, which we have today. Tim, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
How's the stamina? Like, how's the marathon going? Are you still in the marathon? Are you taking time out from the marathon?
I'm still in the marathon. I guess I'm equivalent of, like, taking a water break, or because you guys are from Boston, like, there was a woman one time who, like, won the Boston Marathon, but she cheated.
And her name was, like, Rosie Ruiz. Yes.
Yeah, Rosie Ruiz. You're a runner. You know, like, I got a little Rosie Ruiz going on right now. Like, poor Field Yates. Like, he's like start to finish. Like, you know, he looks like he's 16 still. By the end of his marathon, he's going to look like he's 56. He's so tired.
Oh, boy. All right, so we do have some fantasy questions for you, but I know a lot of the Titans fans would love to hear your evaluation of Malik Willis and Will Levis from Saturday. So let's set the table with this first. What is important to you looking at these games? Because obviously, let's use Trey Lance, for example. His stats, if you just look at the stats, they don't look that bad. He has like 100 quarterback rating, but most people who watched the game said, whoa, had some issues there. So what is important to you to see from young quarterbacks when you watch a preseason game?
Yeah, so I would start by saying it's not the stats, because as everyone watched the Bears offense this weekend, you know, there were two passes thrown behind the line of scrimmage that go for about 110 yards and two touchdowns. My issue with those are that there's a block in the back and then a legal man downfield on them. And so, like, if you just look at the stats, you're like, wow, look at these Bears. But, like, the reality is, like, there is a lot more to that story, I think. Anyway, so, no, you can't just look at the stats. To me, I look at situations and how a guy handles it, what he looks like, does he look comfortable. So, like, Bryce Young's stats don't look good, but I thought he looked comfortable. He played on time. Like, there just was a pace to his play that I thought was really good. You know, my kind of reaction, and I feel like I had a pretty strong one in terms of, like, Will Levis, I felt like it was a huge missed opportunity for him. You know, by so many accounts, like, Malik Willis has the upper hand, but it feels like it's a legit competition for the backup spot behind Ryan Tannehill. And when you look at the end of the game situation, you just don't know when you're going to get those. And when you do get them, you need to take advantage of them. And so I thought the missed throw that would have been the game winner, while it wasn't going to be the easiest play to make, you had to climb through traffic. Like, that's just a play you have to make. And then, you know, I thought that he should have thrown the underneath route on the next play. It was 20 seconds when that ball was snapped. Would have gotten you the first down. You would have had another chance, you know, to take a shot at the end zone at that point. So I did not think that he handled the situations great. And I think that's what you want to see a backup quarterback do, especially a young one, because he might be thrown into a game where you're like, listen, we just need you to – you need to help us win the game, handle the situation right, and win the game.
So your evaluation of Levis is not that he looked awful, but he left some things on the table that could have made it a pretty good debut.
Yes, because, like, look, you don't know. Like, the next time he gets the chance to go to be in at the end of the game, it might be a four-minute drive scenario where you don't even throw the football. And so I just think that if you come into the league not as a first-rounder and you're competing against a guy who, you know, probably is in a similar, you know, situation as you, and it's a legit competition, A, it's hard to find those. Those typically don't happen in the NFL. It's usually like, hey, we've drafted this guy. Like, even if you outplay him, like, we're keeping him, you know, or this guy's the starter because of his contract. And so I think how you respond in those, you know, situations have a huge impact on your career.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. You're right, Tim. Because Mike Vrabel sort of had that same sentiment when it comes to Will Levis. He said that Will needs to let the game come to him and just take what the what's out there, meaning don't try to make a play that's not there. Take what the defense gave you. And from what you're saying, that last series, that those last two plays, more importantly, the last one, he could have hit the underneath route, got a first down, and then had another play to sort of try to win the game. And I do you think those are situations for a young quarterback where he's sort of, you know, looking over his shoulder, seeing what the other quarterback did prior to him, and then wanting to make the play instead of making a safe play to give yourself another opportunity to win a game?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt when you're in a competition, you're aware of what, you know, the guy you're competing with has done. I mean, listen, I can remember competing against A.J. Feely for a backup job in Philadelphia, and, you know, he went out and he was like 8-for-12 and threw a touchdown that was like, I was like, all right, this ball can't hit the ground. Like when I go out there, man, that's just, it's just like how you feel. And so I do think that can impact you. But to me, I feel like that situation at the end of the game was a little bit more of just not being aware of the situation and what could happen. And the fact that, you know, there's, you know, like I said, 19 seconds left, like, go ahead and get the first down. Get one more play where, like, you might actually be able to throw it into the end zone, you know, have time, because you're a little bit closer. And look, I think sometimes it's – some of it has to do with, like, maybe a little bit of frustration because of the play before. But, I those are things I think you just have to learn. And I'm sure they'll talk about them where they'll say, hey, look, like, right here, like, we don't need this – you know, desperation heave right here. Like, there's still football left. Like, that's how that play felt to me.
Now, looking at Malik Willis and what he was able to do, we discussed that yesterday. And I said Malik did okay. But there were some plays out there that I believe he left. I thought anytime he sort of was off or close to being off, it was always high, which tells me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, which tells me he's not following through on a lot of his passes, which in turn allows those to sort of float higher. Even on some of the completions, they were above the, you know, above the shoulders where they didn't have to be. I just think there are still some things he needs to learn, and I'm sure he will, because he's looked totally different from what he did last year.
Yeah, here's what I think. A lot of times when you the ball is high, a couple of things happen. You're either overstriding, which, you know, raises your left shoulder, which lowers your right elbow, and like those are things that can lead to, you know, you just kind of being off a little bit. And I think sometimes that can happen when you're a little too amped up. You know, you're a little like a quarterback. Is interesting. Like, you know, you see these guys run out of the tunnel and they're all fired up and they're jumping up and down and going crazy and all that stuff. But like at the same time during a play, like you can't play faster than the play should happen. And I think with Malik, that's one of the things that like, I think he needs to kind of find like what that rhythm is, what that pace is. Because, you know, when you play too fast as a quarterback, like there's like just things aren't as clear. Like the route doesn't define itself as quickly. You can't see the receiver's angle as well as you should see it. And so, you know, I think that that's the type of thing where he can really improve. But I would just say this with him. If you just look at the year over year improvement from first action last year to this year, like everything has slowed down a lot for him. I mean, a year ago, it was drop back as fast as you can. It's not there. Hey, like, I'm taking off and running. Like, so much so that Mike Vrabel was like, yo, we when guys are open, we need to throw them the football. So I think that that development is already encouraging.
Now, do you like the way they handled the offensive line? Because I would have – I mean, the offensive line did pretty good their first series, but I would have loved to see them go – another series, considering, you know, where they're at and how they need to, not necessarily, well, they do need to prove themselves, but they also need to jail. I would have loved to see them play possibly another series.
Yeah, it's interesting because I do think that playing in some of these preseason games is helpful. You're trying to, you know, weigh the risk reward of that. I mean, look at the Denver Broncos. Like they had their first unit out there for a while. It was like, look, we're going to keep you out there until you have success. And, you know, while they ended up having success, you know, the flip side of that is, you know, what if something would have happened to Jerry Jeudy, you know, in the second quarter? And so, look, while, you know, you want an offensive line to play well as a unit, while you want them to get the live reps, look, you know, you only have so much depth and you have injuries. You know, guys aren't just sitting out there on the street that can come in and start 10 games for you. So, you know, I think it's probably more a product of, look, we're really going to evaluate you guys in practice. There's a lot we can see from you as a group in practice. And look, there might be some other position battles that we're trying to figure out in terms of, look, are we going to try to keep you on the practice squad? Are you going to be the eighth guy, the ninth guy? Like, what is our plan? And I think, you know, oftentimes the preseason is as much used for that as it is getting a group of guys to play well together.
Good stuff from Tim Hasselbeck. He's going to join us for one more segment on the other side. If he has enough stamina, if he's doing the Rosie Ruiz rest for the marathon that's going on with the fantasy football on ESPN. He has been tasked a lot. So I'm not sure if he's coming out of his basement today. I mean, is somebody bringing you food, Tim? Are you getting enough supplies?
Listen, I sneak out every now and then. Listen, you're not going to get any complaints out of me when I know that, like, there are people there. Like, I mean, I mean this. Like, I remember the first year we did this. You know, Matthew Berry, I think, almost died. Like, I said, the first year we did it. And, like, and Adam Schefter, they rolled a cart into the green room for Adam Schefter, like a cot, I should say, for Adam Schefter. And I just remember thinking, like, I wasn't positive that Schefter was human just because the guy's, like, such a machine. But, like, Schefter got tired. And I was like, see, like, this is inhumane. It's just, it's not okay.
This is crazy. All right, we're coming back on the other side for more football talk with Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. Stay tuned. You ready? Yes. Segment number two with Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN, talking football with him. Tim, this is something we discussed yesterday. So many podcasts and clips on ESPN or whatever channel you're turning to watch the reaction from week one centers around the young quarterbacks. So let's take a piece of news that just came out. The Colts have named Anthony Richardson the starting quarterback. Now, they've got Garrett Minshew, who would have been a decent placeholder for a few weeks. They decided not to go that route. They are handing him the job, Richardson. Depending on who you talk to around the draft, there were some that thought, hey, the Colts like Levis. Maybe Will Levis could have been their guy. Regardless, Will Levis is in a totally different situation where he's battling Malik Willis just to become the backup. So what do you think about the development path between those two guys? Well, you know, what are the strengths and weaknesses of being handed the job as opposed to having to try to battle your way up the ladder?
Well, I mean, I think because of how they came into the league, it's two completely different scenarios, right? So, like,
right.
When you're drafted not in the first round, you don't know if you will ever get a chance to be a starter. Like, that's how it goes. Like, you might, but, you know, you also might not. And so, whereas if you're drafted in the first round, at some point, even if you are not even, like, if you're not the best player, they're starting you. Like, there's almost just, like, there's just this understanding that that's going to happen. Like, there's never going to be a guy that's drafted in the first round that is never at some point just, like, not appointed the starter. Like, that's how it works. If you are not drafted in the first round, you don't know when your opportunity will come. So I guess I would just, like, kind of start with it, saying it that way. So, like, the path and the development are really different, but there's also a confidence of your opportunity that's drastically different in both scenarios. And I would just say this. I think it's easier to improve at playing the position when you actually play it. It's like the interception Richardson throws in the first preseason game there. Like, he'll learn from it, and it's easier to learn from it than had he watched Gardner Minshew do it. Mm-hmm. Now, you need to have some success so that you don't just totally lose your confidence, but I think he has so much raw ability, and they're going to be able to run him, and they're going to be able to do different things with him, that that's not a problem. You know, and then I would just say for, like, Levis and his development, look, what happens if he's a third quarterback this year? You know, what if Ryan has a great year and no other quarterbacks play? And, like, his next opportunity to beat out Malik Willis as the backup doesn't come for another year. So I just – look, I would much rather be in a situation where it's like, look, we're putting you out there and it's sink or swim based on can you do it or not.
I want to ask you one more thing about Levis mechanic-wise, because we hit this a lot yesterday. It's – you know, it's crazy. We're really ultra analyzing a couple of plays, and in the big picture, like you said, you got to learn from your mistakes, and you know, mm-hmm. hopefully there's a lot of other chapters to discuss. But I noticed some things when you watch Levis at practice and in the games, and one of the examples is the play that you mentioned where the second to last play that the Titans have, he's got a chance to hit the crossing route. If he hits him in stride, the guy could score, mm-hmm. and we're talking about, hey, what a great debut. He led him on a winning touchdown drive. He sort of throws it sidearm across his body like a second baseman turning the double play. And I wonder about like the Mahomes factor that Mahomes has completed so many passes where all of us are saying, man, that's not how you teach a quarterback to throw, but he does it. Levis has a little bit of that. He flicks it. He'll throw it sidearm. And I wonder how the coaches see that. Do they let him go with that, or do they try to say, okay, it's time to square your shoulders, step into the throw, the mechanics that you traditionally would teach a quarterback?
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt that the acceptable mechanics have changed a lot in the last 6 years in terms of throwing a football for quarterbacks. But to your point, not everybody is Patrick Mahomes. I'll give you an example for me. Like, I would watch DJ Uiagalelei warm up at Clemson. And he basically was a guy that was supposed to be amazing. He was going to win the Heisman Trophy, all this stuff. And he failed at Clemson. And I would watch him warm up before the game. And it was like he had, like, the, hey, I'm going to try to recreate every crazy Patrick Mahomes throw. And it was like, no. That's not your problem. Like, your problem is like, you're missing the layups. Like, you need, like, let's get more fundamental. Like, let's get more just make the routine play. And so, look, if Kirk Cousins was going to try to be Patrick Mahomes, that's not good for
him. It wouldn't go well.
No, but let me tell you something. He's a great quarterback playing, like, with his skill set and, like, with his fundamentals. And so – I do think there's an element of, you know, everybody trying to make, like, you know, the highlight throw, the amazing throw. And I think there's too many people that it's like, actually, if you just hit all the gimmies, if you just made all the layups, you'd play a long time in this league.
Yeah, sort of like the Stephen Curry thing. You know, if you just shoot the ball, you'll be fine. Don't try to shoot it like Steph Curry, okay? Don't try to shoot it and run to the other basket thinking you're going to make it. It doesn't work that way. But not some guys try it, you know, they try it just because they think it's easy because they see Stephen Curry do it a lot. And I think these young quarterbacks see Patrick Mahomes doing it and they figure, you know, I can do it too. But everybody's not Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, here's the deal. Like, Andy Reid's great because he lets these guys play with their personality. It's why I had a great relationship with Brett Favre. It's like, you know, Andy's pretty, you know, he's really, really good. But, like, everyone would be the first one to tell you. Like, there are certain things you just don't do as a quarterback. Like, maybe you get away with it. Like, you don't throw back across your body into the middle of the field. Like, there are things you don't do because, like, it's just been proven the risk reward just isn't there. Now Patrick, because he's a freak, gets away with it. But like, that's Patrick. Like, we're already talking about him maybe being the best all time, like surpassing Brady. But like, let's look at all these other guys that are uber talented. I don't care if it was Jay Cutler, I don't care if it's Zach Wilson, like other really talented players that have an amazing ability to throw the football. Like, not everyone can get away with that.
Now, before we get you out of here, Tim, the Jets. Let's get away from the Titans, but the Jets. And Greenberg is leading the charge.
Tim was on there this morning with those guys.
He's leading the charge with the Jets. But what I can say about Greeny is that when the Jets have been bad, he has pointed it out. But now, man, oh, man, he is leading the charge because now they have got one Dalvin Cook. And I know he's just dreaming about how he's going to, you know, be on a parade going down, you know, Fifth Ave with that trophy. So what do you think of the Jets and them, you know, getting Dalvin Cook? Does this – is it Super Bowl or bust for them now?
You know what's interesting about that is, you know, I actually think that they were loaded at running back as it was. Mm-hmm. Like, I love their running back room. Breece Hall, Michael Carter – Bam Knight, Israel Abanikanda, like, they have a really good running back room. Now, listen, Dalvin Cook's a very proven player. He's a three-down back. He's, like, I think he ultimately helps them. But, like, I did not see that as a hole in their roster. Now, it's a long season. Hall's coming off of the ACL injury. There are a lot of factors. But, you know, to me, like, I think the Jets are going to be really good. I think they're a contender to win the Super Bowl. I think Aaron's going to have a great year. I think they have a championship defense. I do not believe that Dalvin Cook somehow changes how I feel about that team drastically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there are a lot of people that it seemed like the Dalvin Cook, you know, acquisition sort of put the Jets over the hump, like, you have to at least get to the Super Bowl, because if you don't, then why did you make all those moves?
Are they now to the top of the hype train?
Did you think that was the case before the Cook signing, though?
I think it was the same thing. I think it was Super Bowl or bust now, but it seems like they have no excuses. Barring injury, if you stay pretty much healthy throughout the season, people are going to be disappointed if they don't at least make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think they're just shot at.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, you've got more marathoning to do. Keep hydrating, and make sure that that you finish this thing strong.
All right, I'll do my best. 5-hour energy, you know, just be heart would be racing.
Go green.
Yeah, go white.
Oh, there was still a little
hesitation. A little hesitation.
It wasn't clean. Next week will be better. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Yes, you did. You mentioned Kirk Cousins, best quarterback in the NFL.
All right, Tim Hasselbeck joining us, taking time out from the Fantasy Football Marathon going on ESPN right now. We've got a final hour coming up, some really good things that he said that we can delve into. Stay tuned. We're coming back.